You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 15th of October. Another day watching Arizona Josh Green, and I think I like him even more. We'll dig into the world champion Los Angeles Lakers and see what their roster situation is. And our free agent today is Aaron Baines. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Give you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. Thanks so much for being a part of the program. We are watching, looking at draft prospects, taking you up to the draft, which I think is the 19th of November. We're on a daily basis looking at team salary structure and what might be available for the Jazz, and we're looking at free agents, walking you toward whatever free agency is going to be likely in December. So we are not taking an off season here on Locked On Jazz. We are there for you, so stay with us. Listen every day if you can. We will not have a show for you on Friday this week. Today's show brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. All right, as I said, no show tomorrow, so thanks very much for spending 4 days this week. If you missed some of the shows, they're all pretty timely. You can jump in and go back and grab them. We appreciate you tuning in. All right, so yesterday I watched Josh Green for the first time, or shared with you what I thought of him, and I liked him. I was pretty intrigued, and my general take was like, wow, the more I watch these guys late in the draft, the more I think this has got some depth to it. Nico Mannion is a Pacers' son, was in this game also, and you know, he's got a lot of skills. There's some things that worry me about him as an NBA player, but there's also some areas where, you know, he's got some special offensive skills and vision and plays with a pace and has some aspects to his game that are pretty neat too. And we'll dig into him later and really watch him try to get the right matchups. What I like to do is watch kind of two games of these guys and have them play hopefully against somebody else who might be, you know, an NBA caliber player. So in the case of Josh Green, I watched him against Washington. Isaiah Stewart's in that game. They've got some other guys that are NBA caliber players. In this case, I watched them play Colorado because Colorado's got Tyler Bay in that. So you kind of have a little bit of an NBA player around there. And I got to tell you what, I don't think that Josh Green, don't misunderstand my love affair that you're about to hear. There's things about Josh Green that lead me to believe he's not going to be like a star. Like, you're watching him a little bit, and we talked about, you know, he's 2 of 14 on pick and rolls or whatever it was I shared with you yesterday and hadn't had any of those. And they don't run him in pick and roll, and you begin to wonder, like, oh my gosh, could he be Devin Booker? Because Devin Booker, they only ran him in 11 pick and rolls at Kentucky the entire time. And then he gets to the NBA, and it's this completely different game. I don't see that at all. Okay, so let me be perfectly clear. I don't see that at all. However, I see a guy that really plays the game right. I saw stuff that I just loved out of Josh Green. And maybe I fall sucker for some of this. But passes coming to him, and he knows that he's where the pass is going before he catches it. So he's in the left corner, and he's catching the pass in the air and rotating it to the open three. He sees and feels the game fabulously for a 19, 20-year-old player. Defensively, his ability to come off the wing, reach in, dig at a player, make it so that they suddenly don't have, that they're uncomfortable, get them to turn it over, get them to break their rhythm. He makes just so many plays, like makes the pass before it happens, comes around a pin down, hits it into the post player knowing it's going to be there. He also turns it over. He's young. He had like 5 turnovers in the first half of this game. He's in no way perfect. But I really like this. 6'6", 210. Like, if that's there at 23, I am ecstatic. I'm concerned, and the reason I don't know that I think he'll be great, and there's one reason I do worry about him a little bit, but I kind of guess he'll figure this out. And as we mentioned yesterday, I will admit, I'm sold. I do buy into the whole thing. If you're a Nike Hoop Summit player, if you're the right age, you're a McDonald's All-American, like, he checks every box along the way. Multi-sport athlete, younger. Kind of like the fact he He spent the early years in Australia. I think you can kind of see that in his game. He did play AAU for 3 years. He and Nico Mannion were on the same team. So it's not like he's not an AAU guy. But I just think you can feel that when you watch him. So my concern on him watching him in the first game is I didn't see him create anything for himself. I didn't see anything of a handle. First play of the game, he actually drives right hand, kind of back step, reverse pivot, fall back, jumper, hits it. Third play of the game, hard left-hand drive off contact and finishes. So I'm like, whoa, there it is. He's so strong at 6'6", 210 for a college player, even at 19 years old, that when he can play off contact impressively. I'm still not sure on the handle. He beat the guy left. It was nice. But there were plays in this game where they were getting out and running against Colorado, and if he was an elite NBA athlete, he's going to have hit that gap and gotten on top of the cup, and I don't see him getting on top of the cup. He's a great athlete, multi-sport, fast, plays hard. I don't know that he's an elite basketball athlete. Like, I didn't see a single play in the two games I watched where he's up above the cup. I didn't see a single play where off the bounce he gets by his guy and makes a play. I saw him drive, take contact, and a foul. I saw him take contact and finish. I saw him get back behind the shot. Never saw him just like get by a guy on the shoulder. I don't know if that's because his handle's not good enough or he's maybe not quite as explosive as you think he might be when you look at that body and see that 6'6", 210 aspect of him. As I said, to me, this is an instinct player who plays the game well, helps your team win, sees the game well, but is not an elite athlete. I'll bet you that's very contrary to what most people are saying. Now, his transition numbers are pretty good. We talked about that yesterday. That's always an athlete number for me. But his isolation numbers were really bad, and that's another number I look at whether or not you're an elite athlete. And that kind of jives with what I'm seeing in watching these two games, is he doesn't beat people with anything. He doesn't have anything in his game offensively where he's beating someone. Like, he's not beating you to a spot. He's not getting somewhere with his dribble. He's not making a play in that sense. He's making plays out of the system. Again, at 23, that might be great, but I don't see, like, oh my gosh, you draft him at 23, he becomes a stud. I used the comparison of Reggie Bullock the other night, or yesterday in the show, and I don't know if that's, you know, that might be pretty short-sighted. I need to probably find some other players there, but it might also not be that bad, frankly. He missed another above-the-break three, kind of falling back. He's so physically strong, I think that the problems with his shot can be fixed. Though it's not like I get a little nervous because I thought Trey Lyles' shot could be fixed too and was totally wrong on that. He falls back a little bit. As I said yesterday on the show, I'd be really curious about his corner three shooting versus above the break 3-point shooting because that would be a red flag to me if that's as big a difference as I think it is, because that would tell me he's going to have a hard time stretching to the NBA line. His shot does not look comfortable on an above the break three. It comes up short and it doesn't look nearly as smooth as the high arcing corner three. So that's my concern there. He's so strong. He plays off contact great. He just makes the right pass and the defensive pass, and he's got such a great defensive feel. All the feel aspects, seeing the game, directing the game, feeling the game, where it goes, where he's supposed to go, getting back, running to the right spot. Even a little subtle thing, as every shot goes up, you look and see, and he checks where the other team's rebounder is coming. All those little things are just beautiful. My concern is whether he'll shoot it well enough. And I don't think he's an elite basketball athlete. Now, it's hard in the college game because it's pretty spread. Arizona does move it pretty well. Nico's a pretty good point guard. So you would think that you would see it. But again, that collegiate game is awfully, awfully hard to be able to always figure things out because, frankly, it's so clogged. But go back to what I said earlier. There were two or three open court opportunities where an elite level NBA offensive player bursts through that and takes care of it. So those are my thoughts on Josh Green, watching him twice. I might have to go back and watch him again. At 23, I'd be ecstatic. I'm beginning to feel in this whole draft that there's some real depth to it. Last week, I finished my refinance of my mortgage with Intercap Lending using Steve Carter, and the experience was probably better the second time than the first time. It was quick. It was easy. It was taken care of. Steve Carter had it just dialed in. He's just terrific. And I cannot recommend, off my personal experiences, using Intercap Lending or using Steve Carter enough. The rates are fabulous right now for refinance. It's just absolutely ridiculous what you can get. We did a 15-year fixed. There's a 30-year rates were great as well. They've got some versatility. And you know what? The thing that's so interesting to me for Intercap is last time we did a loan with them, they serviced the loan the whole time. They're a direct issuer. They're hyper-responsive. They embrace change. They give you a great borrower experience. Give Steve Carter a call today, 385-885-28. 385-885-28. Well, the communication will be elite. He'll be on top of things. He'll be there to help you. And they got it done crazy fast. I think we did it in about a week. It was really amazing. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit Intercap Lending. Call Steve Carter at 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. Today's show also brought to you by my good friends over at Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street in Murray, also located in Logan and in Linden. The Hyundai lineup of cars, just fabulous. I was even saying to my wife today, like, we got to make sure that I get that Palisade back for the winter. That'd be a great one for us to have. And that, like, here we own the Santa Fe, two of them actually. One of them's probably leaving us as my son goes and spends his winter training somewhere else. So I was like, you know, we might need that Palisade for, like, it's such a nice, it is, it looks so good. I saw one the other day and it just looks, it's such a good looking car. I drove the Sonata for a while, which is their sedan. It's sporty, great deals. And then right now on that one, 0% for 72 months. And the Kona, you're getting $5,000 off plus lifetime oil changes. The deals at Hyundai, Murdoch Hyundai, are great. They're located in Linden and Logan, as well as at 4646 South State Street. So please stop by. Please let me know when you're going by so that we can make sure that you get a great experience with Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street in Murray. Special shout out and thanks to all the 5-star reviews. I just kind of was flabbergasted when I saw that we had 1,265. So thank you to Mango 12345679 who dropped in a thing. Thank you very much for Izzy Gwen who dropped a 5-star review as well. Thank you very much to Ute in Tokyo for a 5-star review at iTunes. If you get a chance to subscribe on Spotify or subscribe on iTunes, follow on Spotify. We'd greatly appreciate it. All right. We're looking at the Lakers. Lakers are interesting for a few reasons. One is they only have $41 million on the books for a year from now. They have $114 million on the books next year for 12 players, which is not terrible. So Quinn Cook, $3 million. Alex Caruso, $2.75 million. Rajon Rondo's a player option at $2.6 million. Danny Green's on the books for $15 million next year, which is a little tough. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is a player option at 8.5. Remember, the mid-level's like right around 9. I don't know that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope gets more than that, but he might get a deal. He's clutch points, or clutch sports, excuse me. Avery Bradley's at $5 million with a player option. Not sure he gets more than that. I'll bet he takes that. LeBron's at 39. He's actually a player option for next year. LeBron could opt out after this year. And Anthony Davis is a player option at 28. He'll opt out, get a max deal. Kyle Kuzma's on for 3.5. And JaVale McGee is a player option at 4.2. He probably should take it. So it's really interesting. They've got some free agents they've got to deal with, which I think is probably the bigger question. What do they do with Dwight Howard? What do they do with the Rajon Rondo? What do they do with some of these player options? There is a chance that we could get a bunch of these player options to kind of opt out, and I think then that could cause them some cap issues along the way. But they, you know, they're really actually to the credit of Rob Pelinka, they're in pretty good shape. You know, they're gonna they're going to jump big numbers when they have LeBron and Anthony Davis signed, and then Danny, but they're going to get out from under Danny Green at $15 million in a year. And they just have a ton, I mean, they just don't have, they literally do not have a player signed other than LeBron for 2021-22. Well, like, that's the massive free agent year. That's Giannis. That's everybody else. Like, holy smokes. Like, they go get their title next year at 2020. They might then be able to go add a really significant piece in the year after that, which is a daunting prospect to all of us. From a Jazz standpoint, I just don't think there's a player there that we're going to grab. Like, I think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is interesting, but we're not going to do more than the mid-level exception. His player option's there. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers don't give him, like, a three-year, $27 million deal. Avery Bradley would be interesting to me because I think he'd be a nice defensive mix next to Donovan, but he's actually 6'1", and he's kind of breaking down a little bit as he gets older, so I'm not sure that, like, you know, again, player option five, are we willing to go give him nine? Probably not. Right? That's, you know, you'd have to get word to his agent, by the way, we're going to full max level, max, we're going to full mid-level exception you. Like, he's maybe, but 49 games this year, 63 the year before that, 46 the year before that, like his 55 the year before that. Like, there's a body breakdown on a 26-year-old, and he's moved a lot of teams. Last year, he did spend the entire year with the Lakers, but you know, you can decide whether you think there's any reason why. Boston had him for a while. Career 36.4% three-point shooter. I like Avery Bradley. He is only 6'1", though. He's awfully small. Well, they have him listed 6'3". I thought he was only 6'1". So Avery Bradley's interesting. We'll have to dive into Avery Bradley as a free agent at some point. Is he on our list? He is. We'll look at him on the 20s. Well, not these aren't all right dates, but sometime in late October. We'll look at Avery Bradley and B-Ball Index and what they're saying about him. But that's an, you know, but again, he's got a player option. So someone has to come to him and say, by the way, we're willing, you know, we're going to go full mid-level on you. You better really believe in him if you're going full mid-level. Because I'm not sure that I'm buying on that. Otherwise, on the Laker aspect of things, there's just not a lot of, there's not another piece I think they're going to, you know, that they're going to be, you're going to want or going to be able to get, whether it's because of Clutch Sports or because of who they are. So, and to their credit, they're in pretty good place and they're going to be able to add a marquee free agent in 21-22 to go with an aging LeBron and Anthony Davis if they want to, if they do it right. Kind of crazy. Give them credit. Sucks. Hate it when you have to give the Lakers credit. Today's show is brought to you by, oh, by the way, Aaron Baines. We'll look at him next. That's a pretty, Aaron Baines is kind of an interesting one. He's our free agent of the day. Today's show brought to you by Rock Auto. When you go into a brick and mortar or chain store, you got somebody there typing behind on the especially loud keyboards, and they're telling you what parts are available. They're only the parts that they have in stock there. Instead, you can go to rockauto.com. The catalog's unique, remarkably easy to navigate, even a little old school. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brand, specifications, and the prices. Here's the best part about the prices. They're the same, reliably low at all times, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much on the same parts? No, you don't want to do that. Chain stores have different tiers for professionals, mechanics, do-it-yourselfers. Rock Auto's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. So go to RockAuto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know who sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. And today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Carrot cake, coconut almond, peanut butter, mint brownie. What's your favorite Built Bar? You won't believe your mouth when you have a Built Bar. 100% real chocolate. 100% really, really good. And unbelievably healthy, ridiculously delicious. That is what Built Bar is all about. Find out what your favorite flavor is by ordering the Built Box. Get all 18 Built Bar flavors in one box, the mixed option. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and get 20% off, or you can build your own box with three different flavors with the promo code LOCKEDON. The macros are amazing. Calories, 120 fewer calories than the leading men's bar. 3.5 grams of less fat. 34 fewer grams of carbs, 17 fewer grams of sugar, and more protein. It's what makes Built Bar so special. It tastes like a candy bar. It's got the macros to make it healthy. It's all at BuiltBar.com. Promo code LOCKEDON gets you 20% off. All right, another free agent look. Aaron Baines. Grew up in New Zealand, played in Australia. Part of the whole Australian NBA mafia. Not really, but, you know, tight with all the guys. And interesting. Had a great start to his year in Phoenix. Played, you know, 33 years old now. Played 42 games last year. Only played 51 the year before that. Kind of worth noting. He was a 5 or 6 point a game guy. And then all of a sudden was a 12 point a game guy last year in Phoenix. Never shot threes at all. In fact, if you go look at going into this last season, he was 4 of 27 from three. Then all of a sudden he went 21 of 61 last year. And then this year he went 59 of 168. Completely added the 3-point shot to his game. And when Phoenix was surprising everybody early in the year, he was a large part of it. A little unnerving, if you're looking at him, is in the opening month of the year, he shot 8 of 19 from 3. In the next month, he shot 17 of 38. So through November, Aaron Baines was 25 of 57 from 3. And then it didn't keep up. In fact, he only hit on 20 of his next 79 three-point attempts till March when he got hot again. And he got hot in 3 games. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag of what he really is as a three-point shooter. So let's run down what B-Ball Index has a look on him. They say his top talents are post play, interior defense, one-on-one, and roll gravity. 33 and a half years old. He'll turn 34 December 9th. So he's old. Went to Washington State, by the way, if you're interested in that. Usage rate, right about league average. Doesn't have to have the ball in his hands very much. 8% tile. Low on touches. Lineup talent around him was awful this year, according to B-Ball Index. Lineup talent was a D+. Overall offense was a D. Defensive talent was an F. So that's kind of an interesting thing. He gets in a lot of foul trouble. One of the worst rates of staying out of foul trouble anybody in the NBA. So we're going to compare him to bigs because that's all. He doesn't have that kind of versatility. He's a C+ three-point shooter. Catch and shoot C. And then we kind of wonder, right? His openness rating was an A-. He 31% of his three-point shots were classified as open. His three-point shot quality was an A. Total gravity was actually pretty high. One-on-one game, he gets a C. It's not really what he is. Finishing, he does not get good grades. D- on drives. Overall finishing, he gets an F. Shot difficulty at the rim, D. Finishing at the rim, F. Assist pass-out rate, he's actually not terrible for a big. He's a B for a big. Driver assist, a C. Off-ball movement, limited. Playmaking, he gets a B. So that's a nice aspect of Aaron Baines, if you think about him with us, is that he actually is a decent playmaker. Passing aggressiveness, passing efficiency is all right. And he has decent roll gravity as an A. Pop impact, he has an A-. And he can pop out for that three. Offensive rebounding, he only gets a D plus. Defensive rebounding, he only gets a D. Surprising. Contested offensive rebounds, he gets an F. Contested defensive rebounds, he gets a C. Perimeter defense, he's not very good. Defensive matchups, he ends up just guarding the center. And teams run switches at him all day long. He's one of the most highly hunted in isolation, perimeter isolation in the NBA. He's on the floor. They're running a pick and roll. He ends up guarding the point guard 10-12% of the time, which is really high for a big. And 21, you know, they're hunting him the whole time. Defensively, his interior defense is an A for rim deterrence. Percent of rim shots contested, a B minus. Block rate is an F. He does not block shots. Here's what the advanced metrics said on Aaron Baines this year. Jacob Goldstein's player impact, D plus. B minus offensively, F defensively. Surprised. Real plus minus had him as a C minus. B minus offensively, C minus defensively. Raptor had him as a D. C offensively, D defensively. And box plus minus had him as an F. D plus offensively, F defensively. Really surprising to see those lower rates. Backup center, you just can't pay a lot of money for this position. Effective field goal percentage, C minus. Points per shot, C minus. I'm surprised that the player impact advanced metrics are as poor as they are on Aaron Baines. That's a big, big surprise to me. Hollinger and Duncan are still producing a show once a week for you and putting out great content. Make sure you go grab it. It's Hollinger and Duncan, the NBA show, if you get you ready for the offseason. Not much of a better combination than that. It's all part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'll be back with you on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend.